Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this December 22nd, 2022, 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here, and we are joined right now by our good friend, Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with the University of Extension, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being here, Laura. Appreciate you being in studio, too.
You bet. Good morning, James. It's great to be here on this snowy morning.
Telling you, there ain't many greater inventions than four-wheel drive, but it is a great invention right there. Appreciate you being here, Laura, and especially because, you know, any chance we can talk 4-H, I want to take it, especially this time of year where we're looking at the next year and we're looking at maybe kids getting involved in new things, parents getting involved in new things, and the importance of some of this stuff that we're going to talk about today, like the importance of partnerships.
Absolutely. You know, we can all only do so much, mm-hmm. right? And when we find others to work with, we can really extend the reach of what we can do. And let's face it, right? Each one of us brings something unique and special to the table. You have skills that I don't have, but that I find value in mm-hmm. other spaces, right? And I hope that I have some skills that other people find valuable.
You
and,
absolutely
you know, I can
do.
Offer some things. So, and I also think, just speaking in terms of economy, right? Rather mm-hmm. than everybody trying to reinvent the wheel and do things all on their own, you know, it's expensive in terms of time as well as funds and everything else. So the more we can work together, the further we can impact our communities in great ways. Yeah. And I think in past times, I've talked to you about, you know, just how much I appreciate our incredible libraries here in Wood County.
Yeah.
And so it's because of an upcoming program that we have with Macmillan that's kind of why I wanted to focus on those partnerships and what we can do. Because, you know, yes, I work for the 4-H program, but I don't only work for 4-H. You know, I really care about making sure that the young people in our communities are able to build the skills that they need to be successful adults. I really care that our young people in communities get the services that they need so that they can remain healthy, both physically and mentally. And so these partnerships are really what make that possible.
Yeah. You know, Laura, one of the things that I've been blessed with in this position, in this job, I got two different guests coming in Monday through Friday, and a lot of those guests tend to be nonprofit people. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid and first moved to this area, the nonprofits were more of like crabs in a barrel, like just kind of pulling each other down to get to one another or get to that mighty dollar or what have you. And doing this job and moving back to the area, I see it's the exact opposite now. People working together. Oh, you got that covered? Well, we're going to cover this. Or working together. The lines, there are no lines anymore. Everybody's on the same side. Everybody's rooting for each other. Everybody's pulling for each other. And when we see the 4-H in our library working together, when we see the 4-H in this organization working together, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing not only the essence of community, but the way that we make a better world. All this stuff, everything we're doing, no matter what the nonprofit is or what the business is or anything else, I think most of it is designed to take care of kids, to help kids, to prepare them to be great adults and to, you know, take over these jobs we're doing now. That's the point of society.
You bet.
I feel in this area, they're getting it right with the way that everybody's working together more.
Right. I think it's been so important for all of us to realize that really, you know what, our goal at the end, that end game, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And each organization might have some different philosophies or some different ideas for how to reach that same goal, but understanding that we're stronger together, mm-hmm. right? When we pool those resources, and hey, even if we pool our philosophies a little bit, you know what? Like, I've learned so much from Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Mm. Our membership rules might be different. The way that we form troops or clubs might be different.
Yeah.
But boy, we all have some pretty interesting stuff that works across the board. Mm-hmm. So if we can share, if we can work together, you know, we're going to help each other reach those goals, reach those that end game, if you will.
Right. So let's talk about some of the programs that are going on. It looks like that there's one coming up at Macmillan.
You bet. So I'm guessing that you've met Carrie Priest, the children's librarian
She's
there
great.
At
Carrie's great.
Macmillan. So she and I have decided to join forces to offer a sewing class, and I think that this is going to be pretty cool personally.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people think like this sewing thing, it's kind of old fashioned. We don't really need, but I'm going to tell you, my daughter is a dancer. They put on the Nutcracker last weekend, or was it the weekend? It was the weekend before. And I was backstage repairing costumes like nobody's business. And everybody thought like I had this incredible talent. And truth be told, I just know how to thread a needle and I'm willing to go for it and try. And so many others can. Like, this is not something to be afraid of. And it's a practical skill. So we're going to open this up for kids from 8 years old to 11 years old. Yes, they're old enough to run a sewing machine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a 3-session series. So they're going to learn all of the basics. And then they're going to make a pillowcase and a drawstring bag. Ooh. So they'll have cool projects to take home and to keep. And two real keys on this one. Number one, our entire Wisconsin library system is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So kids don't have to own a sewing machine.
Mm.
Our library has 4 sewing machines, and Carrie is lined up to get 6 more sewing machines.
Wow.
And the extension office has sewing machines.
Nice.
So if kids are interested, but they don't have a machine, they should, you know, come on down anyway.
Yeah.
We can work with that.
That's awesome.
And the other piece is parents don't need to know how to do this.
Mm.
But we do want a parent or an adult guardian to be there with the kids.
Yeah.
Because then as the kids are learning these new skills, if they want to kind of sample and toy with, even if they don't have a sewing machine at home, they can start playing around with maybe some hand sewing or some fabric selection, or, you know, that dreaming and that goal building. It's so helpful if there's an adult there who sees what the kids are learning.
Right.
So they can reinforce and help and encourage once they're back home. This isn't a skill to learn or an activity to take just to keep kids busy. It's something, you know what, they can do something with it later. And it might be creative. It might be functional. It might be both.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want those adults there to, I mean, it's so important. You know, for that moving forward.
Hmm. Sewing is one of those things that I genuinely think like a lot of skill sets should be almost taught to everybody. I pull back from saying mandatory, but like just borderline, like right under mandatory. I feel like it should be, only because it's such a gifted asset to have.
Mm-hmm.
Just between you and I, Laura, okay? Don't tell anybody else this. but I, when I was younger, had this, I didn't have a lot of clothes, but I had this one pair of jeans that I love these jeans, and the top button came off, and I could not sew it back on. My mom kind of says, "All right, Jimmy, you can go ahead and I'll sew it on for you later." But I didn't want to wait for her to do it, like a typical, you know, impatient teenager. So I tried to do it myself, and somehow I got my pinky like wrapped around into the, like, I don't know how I did this. Please don't tell anybody; it's very embarrassing. and I'm sorry. And I was afraid to tell my mom about it and everything. I go to my mom to show her, and she laughed, of course, cut me loose, and taught me how to do it. And it didn't take that long. And it's something that I kind of still have to ask, you know, maybe I Google something or whatever. But it's helped me so many times. You mentioned a similar situation. I'm getting ready to go out on stage. My top button breaks. I'm able to sew it before I even get out there. Like little things like this. To be honest with the audience, being single, being alone, you know, and out there and stuff, you tend to have a lot of times in your life where, hey, I need something done and there's nobody else to help me.
Right?
It's nice to have that skill set.
And you think, just, again, personal economy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Silly story. My daughter is just about to turn 16, and she's really into like vintage clothes.
Mm.
Some vintage, like, here, you know, whatever, not that old.
Yeah.
But some of it really old, like historical clothing.
Cool.
But I just dug up a coat of my dad's from Sears, and I'm guessing it's the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to wear it, and I pulled it out, and my daughter was just like, she had never seen it before. Mm-hmm. The extra long collar, the whole works. Like, it is a period piece. And I took it into the cleaners just to get dry cleaned. And I went to pick it up, and it wasn't there because it was missing a button, which was totally okay with me because that was my dad's coat.
Mm-hmm.
But they automatically assume that if there's a button missing or whatever, that people don't have the skills Wow. To do something as basic as that. So it's ready for me today. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys didn't have to do that. And they explained why. Really?
It's very cool that they
do. It's an assumption that people don't have the skills even to replace a button. Hmm. So it floored me a little bit. And I think just like you said, like there are some basic things like totally we can do it by ourselves. We don't have to be experts at. But it's like cooking.
Yeah.
It's like yard work. Like basic knowledge, mm-hmm. you don't have to be an expert, but a little basic knowledge will take you far.
Yeah.
So that's what we're helping to like open up for the young people here in the area. This is not a 4-H program. You don't have to be a member of 4-H. You don't have to hold a Macmillan Public Library card or anything like that. It's open to anybody. And these programs, it's a 3-part series. And we do ask that everybody comes and attends all three because the skills are going to build on each other. Somebody who's never run a sewing machine would not be able to come in that last session and really be able to do what we're doing. So it's 3 Tuesdays. We're going to have January 10th, then February 7th, and then March 7th from 6 to 7 p.m. So we'll start out with the basics. What are the tools? What are they for? How do you thread a sewing machine? How do you, you know, push the fabric through the sewing machine? Mm-hmm. How do you change the stitches? All of that kind of stuff. And then we'll step up into making that drawstring bag. And the most complicated project is the pillowcase. And so it's a free program. We have specific things we're going to do at each program. And we do just ask that everybody registers so that we can make sure that we have the sewing machines and the other equipment there and ready.
I love the idea of them not only learning this, but say you make that pillowcase, who knows how long you'd be able to use that. Mm-hmm. And every time you use it, being reminded of that moment, of that time of learning something. And that is that's constant encouragement given to them, giving to themselves, really. That's a very cool, this is a really cool idea. If people do want to register for this, how can they do that?
So registration is going to be going through Carrie at Macmillan Library. Mm-hmm. And so it's a 2-step part. First, she just wants you to email her and then she'll send you a link to do the final registration. So Carrie's email is kaprecce@macmillanlibrary.org. And I'm trying to think of what the best way is, because I wonder if people might not understand my letters as I'm spelling her name there.
I will say what we usually do, because there's no way to do websites over the air. We're still learning to figure out that technology. I don't know. Yeah. And nobody's got a perfect system yet. If you go to Macmillan's website, they have a contact section. Should be able to find Carrie's name right away. That's what I've done in the past, and perfect. I know other people at Macmillan have. So just go to macmillanlibrary.org, and should have no problem being able to find her from there. And certainly if you want to call the library, reach out to them, they'll get you hooked up with the right person.
Perfect. And one other thing that I was going to say here is that the sewing community is incredibly generous. Yeah. You know, making things for other people and all of that kind of stuff all the time. So we even have donated fabric that kids will be able to use for the program. Mm. But we will, you know, we also understand that kids have their favorite things. Yeah. So if they have desires to have a specific fabric or something like that, maybe it's providing that, you know, going out and shopping and bringing that into the program. Mm-hmm. But even that's not necessary because of the generosity of our sewing community. So,
and they really, I second that, Laura. They've helped us out at the theater a couple of times. They're great, great community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW Extension. We're going to take a quick commercial break, come back, and hang out with Laura some more here on the morning show at my morning magazine here at WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine for this December 22nd, 2022. You have your host, James, here, and we're speaking with our good friend, Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW Extension. Always good to have you in studio, Laura. We've been talking about some of the partnerships that the 4-H has with some other organizations. I wanted to get into next, Discovering 4-H series.
Yeah, so this is a partnership we're doing with Wisconsin 4-H, the whole statewide program. Mm. And I think the timing is great. Right now, let's face it, we're all excited that winter is just beginning. Every snowfall for kids. Yeah. kids at least is exciting. But as the winter season goes on, we all find ourselves maybe starting to stumble with some winter blues or some cabin fever. So we have these Discover 4-H series coming up in January and February. Again, a completely free program. Mm-hmm. And we have two different setups. One is for those youth in kindergarten through second grade, and the other is for kids in third grade through sixth grade. And when folks sign up, they're going to end up with a supplies kit from me. And so Clover Buds are going to do things like learn how to build a straw rocket, which is a lot of fun, flying those through the house. We've got how to make a cake in the microwave. We've got stuff about mental wellness, all of that kind of stuff for those kindergarten through second graders. And then our program for third through sixth graders more is like focusing around like celebration.
Okay.
And so again, supplies to do all of that. And it's going to include some art. It's going to include some food sciences. And again, it's going to include some pieces for mental wellness. And so I just want to invite everybody.
Yeah.
If you have kids in that kindergarten through sixth grade range and you want to give them an opportunity to delve into something a little bit new this year, give me a call at the Wood County Extension office and I can give you some links for how to sign up for it. And then the materials to go along with the programs are going to be available starting January 12th. And the programs themselves will start, I believe it's January 17th for those Clover Buds. January 24th for the older kids, and it will run through February. So it's a nice kind of distraction, a little something new and some learning during the cabin fever blues.
Yeah, with the virtual sessions ability there too, it's not making people having to travel in bad weather maybe or anything like that. That's a nice advantage too.
And I know a lot of people still like they go virtual, but when you talk to the kids, if it's not like a day long of school drudgery sitting on their backsides, it's fun. They get to meet kids from all over the state in this case. It's interactive. They have fun. It's 1 hour of learning and doing something brand new. And then they get to leave. So don't, you know, cast it aside because it's virtual. Kids love it.
Mm-hmm. Another Discovering 4-H series, third to sixth graders. You mentioned that's so much fun. How about the Project Discovery Day at Mid-State? What about that one?
Yeah, so Mid-State, another great partner. We're going to offer this. It's a day-long hands-on event where kids get to learn all sorts of things related to our kind of typical 4-H projects. But the other piece, because we're at Mid-State, they're going to open up a window into what kind of program offerings kids can delve into in high school, working towards that, you know, graduation piece and after college. And can I tell you that I have just recently learned so much about what Mid-State has to offer?
Oh, yeah.
Like not only the programs themselves, but even offering things like laptops, offering things like shuttle services between campuses. I think a lot of people don't know. And that what to do after high school graduation can feel daunting. So the more we can do to let people know what our community partners like Mid-State have to offer for us right here, the better off. And I think it's great for parents to learn. It puts their minds at ease. But for our high schoolers to also know, like, there's some really cool and affordable things right here in Wood County.
I couldn't agree more. Every time we have Mid-State on, I joke with them that they make it really hard not to want to continue your education. I mean, they give you no excuses. Well, this I can't. Well, this I nope. They counter every single thing. Yeah. They do such a good job in their communities of getting people, hey, you want to learn, that's the first step. If you want to do that. Now, it's really cool to hear about this program, too, because I know that there are other organizations, that there are other things out there for kids that bridge that gap of high school to college or high school to whatever, you know, a trade school or wherever you're going next. But it's still gray area. And every day there's more things, more options, more scholarships, more things out there that we talk to people all the time at Mid-State or Encourage or other places. Yeah. We got these scholarships and nobody knows about them. Like that kind of thing happens all the time.
You bet.
Having something like this is going to help help like less kids falling through the cracks and falling into that gray area.
And I so appreciate that they're willing to start working with us. Like, we work with kindergartners through 13th graders, right? And they're ready to open their doors just to let kids start thinking about that there are possibilities here. And the possibilities that are here are because Mid-State is constantly working with the employers in the area too.
Right.
So talk about fresh and current and, you know, like, bless them. I love working with them.
That's really cool.
So,
Laura, when I know that what we're talking about today are partnerships with 4-H and other organizations. We've got great partnerships we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. I do want to make sure that the audience knows that we're open to new ones.
Absolutely.
Definitely open to new options, new opportunities for the 4-H and our youth to be able to experience whatever it might be. There's so many different avenues for something like this.
Very true. And the more we have partners, the more we can do, right? Because I'm going to tell you, there are all sorts of things that I just don't have the skill set to do. But if we have somebody that's willing to work and help teach, and it might be a volunteer or it might be a partner, like a big partner, right, to make things happen. So I would always be willing to entertain a conversation. And people can reach me at 715-421-8439. That's my office at the courthouse. So feel free to stop by sometime, too.
And I know it's not necessarily in the same, you know, ballpark as what we're talking about here. But when we're talking about partnerships and, you know, community relationships and all that, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, bring up or think about what happened to the 4-H this year and losing an iconic, beautiful building and worrying, well, what happens next? And this community stepping right up, just right there and wanting to help.
Absolutely. So in November, we just had our annual recognition banquet, and we were so proud and thankful to be able to recognize the VFW as a friend of 4-H because they really did step forward. There are just a few 4-H clubs in the Wisconsin Rapids area, and Snyder 4-H is certainly one of them. And so to lose that building and losing a place to meet was huge. So for the VFW to step up and say, hey, open, our doors are open, come on in here. And we've been there for a long time now, right? There are some issues trying to figure out how to rebuild on the site that they have. So it's still going to be a while. And the VFW has said, hey, we're here for the long haul, and we really, really appreciate that.
There's so many layers to this. Just that situation alone, let alone all the other relationships we've talked about here. And again, this all comes back to the you know, whether it's Mid-State, whether it's the VFW, and the libraries. Everybody realizes we're all trying to make the same thing happen here. Give our kids as much as they possibly can, so that when they take over, when they're running things, they do. I would like to think, and I'm just speaking for myself here, a better job than we've done. That's what we want for kids. We want them to have better. We want it for our own children. We want it for all children to have better lives and do better than we did. This is how we make that happen. Partnerships, communication, working together, that we are more connected than we are divided, not giving into division, you know, and working together through these things. Nobody would have expected, wow, I noticed the VFW didn't step up. Nobody expected them to do that.
Right.
They just did it.
Right.
Like doing more of those kind of things and stepping up when not just when it's called upon, but when it isn't. I think that stands out.
So truthfully, I have to tell you, you know, when that building burned down, first of all, it was a shock, right? And so there's a grieving process that goes in, and then kind of that feeling of like, oh my gosh, where do we go from here? And so I remember so clearly coming in and just like, we don't know what's going to happen. We need somebody's help. I don't know where to go. And getting phone calls from there, right? So being so thankful that just communicating and sharing with the community, like people... there was no direct ask there. Right? Just somebody saying, hearing about the problem, finding out that that was there and saying, you know what? I think maybe I can do something to help. What an amazing thing that is.
Just a big, gigantic thank you to the community, to the VFW, to McMillan, to Mid-State, to all these great organizations working with our youth, working with the 4-H. Laura, we talked about a lot of fun stuff today. Somehow we always run out of show. If people want to find out more about some of these things, how can they reach you?
So the easiest way to reach me is probably by phone at 715-421-8439. And Extension Wood County, we're on the web. Wood County 4-H. Always look for Wood County, Wisconsin 4-H, just as a little FYI, because there is a Wood County in Ohio. We don't want you going there. Come right to me.
I've had that happen, actually. Yeah. Thank you, Laura, for the time. We appreciate it. Wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you soon.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll be out of here. We'll get out of here right now. On that note, thank you for listening. Keep on listening to WFHR, locally grown radio.